Welcome everyone to this week's W3C CCG meeting. Today we're very excited to have Jeremil and Andrea to come here and present on DBS plus signature schemes benchmarks. But before we go to the main agenda, I just want to quickly remind everyone the code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure we have a constructive and helpful conversations here. A quick note about intellectual property. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG core items must be member of the CCG with a full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions in regards to the IP notes, intellectual property notes, or the W3C account, please feel free to just reach out to any of the co-chairs. Couple quick notes in regards to the calls. These calls are automatically being recorded and transcribed, and we will publish the meeting minutes, the audio and video recording in the next 24 to 48 hours. We use GC chat to queue the speakers, so you can type in Q plus to add yourself to the queue, or Q minus to remove. And you can type Q question mark to see who is in the queue. All right, so just want to take a quick moment for the introductions and reintroduction. So if you're new to the community or you haven't been active and want to re-engage, feel free to just unmute and introduce yourself. I see mostly familiar faces, so move on to the next topic. I think Jeremil can introduce himself once we get to the main presentations. All right, announcements and reminders. Any new announcements or reminders? Manu, please.
Hi, Harrison. Yeah, just a couple of kind of notes on things that happened at the World Wide Web Consortium Technical Plenary that happened 2 weeks ago. In the California DMV hackathon, which included verifiable credentials and MDL last week. So the high level feedback from W3C TPAC is that the DID working group work is going well. That was a good 2 days of full day meetings. The work items are proceeding as planned. No real drama or anything. You know, we just kind of got down to making progress on DID core and the DID resolution specification. So that went well. On the Wednesday, there was a breakout session, multiple breakout sessions, and like 40 breakout sessions. We did one on DID method standardization, which got a decent bit of interest. We suggested a web-based DID method, an ephemeral DID method, and a truly decentralized DID method. That proposal for working group charter received no objections. We will, of course, know, like, the people in the room didn't object. That doesn't mean there won't be people that object. But largely it was positive feedback on having such a working group. As some of you know, that DID method standardization work is happening as a joint work item between CCG, Trust Over IP, Decentralized Identity Foundation. Those meetings are happening regularly now. The other thing that we put forward are a number of the specifications that are being incubated in the CCG, things like render method, confidence method, hopefully in the future, verifiable credentials over wireless, the verifiable credential barcode stuff, VC API. Those were all proposed as going standards track. Again, nobody in the room objected to that work proceeding. That would probably be around next summer, so still quite a ways from that for a recharter. And then finally, the verifiable credential working group met. That went really well. Many of us got to meet Simone for the first time, which was great to meet him in person as his role as the security lead at W3C. We have agreed to go into a second candidate recommendation with all the specifications. We believe we're pretty much done with them at this point. And the only thing that we're really waiting on, I know, the only thing that we're really waiting on is security review on those specifications, which we'll be working with the new newly chartered security interest group, Singh, on. We're hoping that by Q1 of next year, we'll be able to have standards, W3C standards published for a verifiable credential data model, the securing specifications, status list, things like that. The other thing that happened was the California DMV hackathon. There were 15 organizations that participated. Really great, amazing use cases. Usage of verifiable credentials was around 10 out of the 15 organizations used the verifiable credential version of the driver's license. The rest used the MDL. There were in-person use cases. Many of them were online use cases. And so we got some really good feedback, from that. Google was there, Apple was there, providing, support, along with, us, providing support for the verifiable credential stuff, and so on and so forth. So, good kind of momentum building, confidence in the technology, rollout to production, that sort of thing. I will also note that, Lucy, Yang was there, as well as, Kalia and Gail Hodges from, OpenID Foundation. Sharon Lowe was there, as a judge. Lucy did an amazing job, you know, keeping, the whole event running, on the rails, as did, Gail. So, there's another event, the government hackathon in a month's time, November 1st. But it was a really great turnout, really good to see the community building things and rolling them into production. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Any other announcements or reminders? Kalia, please.
Sure. Just a reminder, the Internet Identity Workshop is coming up at the end of the month, October 29 to 31st. Bring your Halloween costumes. It will be fun. And the other thing is, on the day before, you've got the community events. There's like an interesting VRM event, the Shaping Up Vendor Relationship Management Community has their Monday thing. And I think the OpenID Foundation has something too. So, and just a reminder too, we're committed to accessibility. So if you want to be there, speak to us and we will help make that work for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Kalia. So we won't hold a CCG meeting that week. So on October 29th, we will not have a CCG meeting because of the Internet Identity Workshop. So I'll send out a calendar reminder a week in advance. Okay, any other announcements or reminders? All right, so next week we'll have Carrie to talk about MIT Digital Credentials Consortium updates. And then the week after, we'll have Krista Allen come back and talk about his latest on Gordian Envelope and Gordian Seal Transport Protocol. All right, moving on. Any updates in regards to the work items? So last calls for introductions, announcements, work item related topics.
I will speak, Harrison.
Yes, about please.
This is really also following TPAC. I had some interesting discussions primarily with Christopher. I'm still waiting to hear back from him really, but about maybe exploring some new work items. Like he raised an interesting point about how do we have obfuscated services in bid documents? I think that might make an interesting CCG work item. Assuming we can get some support for it. And then the other thing that I'm interested in, maybe Christopher is too, is starting some work around exploring how bids support more advanced cryptographic verification methods like multi-sig, frost, ring signatures. Basically, things that aren't just a plain signature from a single key. Like, what are the semantics around that? So just kind of exploratory, but I think it would be interesting to look at. So if that sounds interesting, reach out to me. It's still kind of a idea at the moment. So.
I think there's a working group around multi-format, like multi-key, multi-hash, right? Like working group. Maybe we can
representing a key, but what about if that key is a like N of N multi-sig? Like, what does that mean in the like? Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Great idea. Any other topics people want to bring up? All right, let's get to the main agenda. So today, again, very excited to have Jared Mill and Andrea here to talk about the DBS plus signature scheme benchmarks. I think they have shared with the CCG public list, and then I also include a link to Jared Mill's blog post in the agenda that I sent out last week. But without further ado, Jared Mill, please take over.
Hi, everyone.
Yep, we can see you and hear you.
I guess you can see the screen. And yeah, I'll switch on the video. But if there is any problem with the connection, let me know that I'll save that bit of bandwidth. So I'm here with Andrea, my colleague. And yeah, we had fun running this benchmark for the BBS. Briefly, where we come from, Dynorg is a small foundation based in Amsterdam. And yeah, we learned a lot from the W3C, so we are very happy to be members now. We grew enough through European projects. Our main contractor is the European Commission, for which we have done several projects, one flagship, success stories, in ICT mostly. And we do this, as you see, with an interdisciplinary approach. Everything we do is free and open source, so everything you find in this presentation is running on code that you can download, test, and, well, you are familiar with the licensing and the story of the GNU project. One bit more on top of this slide, maybe, is that most of the things you are going to see, they are implemented in C language. And this is the platform that we use to run the benchmarks that you are shown. It is GNU GPL software that we are developing since 2018. Most of it has been, most of the research and development in it has been funded by European projects. And today we are very happy to use it for our work, for our daily work. It is relevant to say this because this is the main platform the benchmark is running on. It is a virtual machine, it's very portable. So the computations are replicable. Obviously, I mean, we target also WASM, so it runs also in browser. And obviously this leads to different performances. All performances that we see today, they are running on a PC. I will give the specs later on. And last bit about us, why we got here. Obviously, I mean, sheer passion for making things work well and making code, transparent code run on most of our devices. But also the fact that we are involved, we are deeply involved in Europe and this initiative, the European Digital Identity Architecture Reference Framework, EUDARF, known as, is running, is shaking a little bit the stages where identity is discussed, at least on this side of the pond. And it is, as you just, I put this slide, you are all familiar with how and what an identity, digital identity wallet should be doing. This is the framework in which it falls as a web mobile application slash web app that can be also implemented as. And yeah, this initiative has had already quite some feedback, also critical feedback, which I think is the most valuable because that's the way to make it better. And the most important feedback came from this bunch of people. You can see among them some superheroes of cryptography, so quite some authoritative names that made the commission note that the algorithms used, especially on a cryptographic level, in the EUDR are not really sound. Why I say this? Because that's really how I come to study BBS Plus. We are interested in this algorithm because it's mature. In my opinion, could have been standardized a bit earlier. But yeah, here we are. And it's a good substitute because it brings in the feature of unlinkability. So this is the real reason why we are here and you know, contributing and sharing. This BBS Plus benchmark. So the QR code is clickable. I think there are slides. I'll share the slides at the end of this presentation. And here you can find the article that that I wrote and circulated about this. There is another relevant article that I will use as a reference in this benchmark. It's SDBLS. We made a new scheme, which we are not proposing as a production ready for BBS Plus, but we had fun demonstrating some other features that we believe should be in a digital identity credential, selected disclosure credential scheme, in particular threshold revocation. While doing this, we implemented a BLS signature with selective disclosure, protection from replay attacks, several features you find into this article recently published. The link is to the open publication, by the way, on Axiv. Why I say it here is because as a term of comparison in the benchmark, I also bring in this to show how faster is BBS Plus. That was anticipate the result. So it makes sense actually to look at BBS Plus, even if today BLS signatures can be done in many other ways. So let's dive in. This is the fastest explained, quickest explained part of the benchmark. This is what you see up is a bit of a specification on where the benchmarks were running inside our VM. Yeah, you have to consider that the VM has a direct syntax parser made in Lua, which is also a dialect of Lua. In fact, I overloaded a lot of operators so that it looks like Mathematica. That's why we have students from mathematics working with us and implementing algorithms like BBS Plus. So we implemented it very similar to what a proof in Sage or Mathematica would look like. And it runs straight in production. But you have still to consider that the benchmarks initialize from C a Lua VM. So some things could be done faster. This is key pair generation. So just straight on hashing power. The generation takes almost 0.003 seconds. So you see this is the number of keys. In 2 seconds, 1,000 keys were generated in our tests. Issuance, more interesting. First fact is that it's definitely linear, the growth. And as you see, in 1,000 issued credentials will take also to verify pretty much the same time will take 1 second for 1,000 of them. So yeah, the layman result that we will say here is really like 1 second to issue 1,000 credentials. The presentation and verification are usually the trickiest. As you know, we are talking about zero-knowledge proof algorithm. So this is our results, also published in the article. You see that the growth of proving is steeper. So verification will scale slightly better. I guess this difference is quite negligible. But yeah, we can say that verification takes less. And just to, as I anticipated, just to put it in perspective, SDBLS is an implementation of Bonnelling-Sackham signatures, so more or less multiplications over elliptic curves and in pairing, which BBS Plus reproduces its own way. But yeah, this is like playing on the same curve, the BLS 38112. This is the result of SDBLS with issue, prove, and verification. We see clearly that BBS Plus is one magnitude faster than a BLS signature implementation. I think this is a relevant result. It makes sense to use BBS Plus, not only because it's a bit older and more tested. Well, one could argue that BLS signatures are also quite tested on top of a lot of blockchain implementations, but still, you know, in the same conditions, with the default ROM settings, so the order of the curve and the generators that BBS Plus is customizing, with the default ones on the BBS 38112, then, yeah, we really have an improvement in performance. So again, layman result for this benchmark. 1 second for 1,000 credential presentations, almost 1.5 seconds for 1,000 credential verifications. Things can be optimized, but this is what we got in our environment. And now to the layman results, very quick, of the size. Sizes are quite good. Again, I don't have here a comparison with SDBLS, but I can tell you, as I wrote the paper and went through its implementation, this is very, very compact compared to what happens with BLS signatures. So remarkably compact. Of course, we are talking about the sort of compression of second order curve points using the Zcash compression. So taking only one coordinate, it gets down to 96 bytes for public keys, 80 bytes for issued signatures, and zero knowledge proofs down to 272 bytes, which is very interesting if you consider that a mobile wallet holding 100 credentials in 10 kilobytes, and a proof will fit into QR code and even most NFC tags, which is not the case for our comparison implementation in BBS. So, yes.
Sorry, John, I just have a quick question, clarification on that. I looked at this a while back. My understanding was that zero knowledge proofs for BBS is that a static size? Like, my understanding was that grows with the number of things being proved, right? Like, if I'm proving, if I'm like discussing, that's true, right?
It grows linearly, yes.
With the number of messages that I'm disclosing.
Yes.
Or hiding, right, yeah.
Yes.
And it grows linearly by 272 bytes.
Yes.
Jeremy, are we sure that they grow? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, me neither.
Wait a second.
I can make a quick test, but...
Iman, you have a similar question?
Yeah, well, no, just an answer. They do grow. So the way BBS works is that the more you hide, the larger the signature. The less you hide, the smaller the signature. And so the bytes that Yarmil is showing are accurate, right? It depends on the number of claims that you have in the credential, and it depends on how many you're trying to hide. But that is well within, you know, the number that Yarmil's showing on there. We also have some. This is fantastic work, by the way, Yarmil, Andre. Like this is great stuff. It's really wonderful that you've done an independent, you know, review and demonstration of it. The numbers that you're showing are very much in line with the numbers that we found. But yeah, we're happy to show some of the how BBS. You know, the signature size has changed based on what you're, the amount of, you know, information that you're trying to, disclose. But they're the, again, going to this layman's result, like the layman's result is like, yeah, they're really small signature sizes for what they're, you know, signing. You don't really get even close with many of the other, you know, approaches. That's it.
Yes, it's not super easy in my setup right now to open up the benchmark terminal and show the JSONs. It would be unwieldy now, but well, I can confirm from my understanding that selective disclosures with multiple credentials will grow linearly. Yet there is not yet a SD BBS Plus. I know some people in Europe are paid to work on it. And so when there will be a format for SD, we will see really like how it fits into the protocol. If they find any opportunity to tame down the growth. But my understanding is that it will grow linearly for each proof.
Guys, I am making tests now. It doesn't seem to me that they grow, but, maybe we can, make some proper tests and share the results later.
Yeah, it depends what we are looking at. But yeah, go on with the presentation. Then we look at, perhaps I can fire up here the benchmark terminal. Okay. Are there any other questions about this part? Because I'm moving in the last part of the presentation then.
By the way, I have a question. Based on what you showed so far, BBS is better than BLS signatures. So my question is, why would other applications like blockchains like use the BLS? Why don't they just move to BBS? Or are there certain things that BLS do better than BBS? Or is just a BBS is strictly better?
I see a lot of people doing strange things so in blockchain space.
Do you want me to try to answer, Jarvis?
Yeah, please, Andrea.
So, Harrison, we wrote a paper. The name of the paper is SDBLS, standing for Selected Disclosure. And there, basically, we experimented through different phases. We experimented different features. TLDR, our implementation, SDBLS, is slower. Is visibly slower than BBS Plus, but it offers features that BBS Plus doesn't have. For example, revocation, cryptographic revocation, which is something we know that BBS team is working on. So if you compare speed only, then BBS wins. Then if you look at a set of features, there are other cryptographic schemes that offer features that aren't currently available in BBS Plus.
Got it. Cool. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, yes. In the meantime, I made some progress to fire up the terminal, and we can look at the JSON raw data later on if you want, and make some tests, live tests. Any other question until this part? So I have one... I'm not sure it's really a relevant answer to your question, Harrison, but the only reason I would see in not using BBS Plus is that because of its ROM setup, and with that I mean because of the hard-coded generators in BBS Plus, only BLS 381 12 is implemented, and it is not transferable on bigger curves. So BLS has the advantage that I could go on bigger curves, achieving more bits and therefore more security. But still, I would be in a framework that is not post-quantum secure. But yeah, that could be a reason that is more portable to use BLS.
Got it. Thank you.
The next test that I did is attempt at privacy analysis. I used two methods. One, I believe more interesting, is measuring the Hamming distance between BBS plus proofs generated on the same credential and comparing them with the Hamming distance of random generators. Here I use three random generators different in comparison. One is the PRNG in Zenroom. Another one is the PRNG in Zenroom seeded with random from random.org. And the third one is OpenSSL. So I put these in a graph where you see the frequency of distance, most recurring distances. And the white you see on the left and right, it means that nothing has occurred outside of that distance. So you see that the frequency zooming in on just 10 samples, so here are like it's very few samples, it is restricted between 1030 and 1080, which is absolutely normal. This is visible also on 100 samples, where we have, this is GNU plot, so there is some transparency. So the darkest color, it means that there is overlapping. And yeah, let's keep an eye on this guy here on the right side. Manu, you wrote about it in a mail, and I think you are right. It's worth investigating. When we get to many more samples, we see that there is uniform distribution, but there is still this guy here. It's a sort of a spike around 1,140. I have no idea why that occurs, but it's consistent. Shannon averages? Yes, please, Will.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a clarification question, because could you explain Hamming distance to everybody? Because I loosely remember what it is, but not in great detail.
Hamming distance is when you take two octets, so two arrays of bytes. Let's zoom in, two arrays of bits. And you put them on top of each other, and you see if the bits are the same or not. If the bits are the same, there is no distance. And if the bits in the same position change, there is a distance. And it's used even like down in the kernel to, and in the compiler to compute difference between data on a bit resolution. Mm-hmm. So bits on top, and you know, like there is never complete on a bit level, there is never complete distance. So the distance will be always lower than the length of the data you're comparing. But there will be a consistent number of distance between a random data. And if data is not so random, then you will start seeing less distance.
Mm-hmm. Cool, thank you.
So the number will go down. Shannon entropy is measured on the signal, basically, on the entropy of the signal. So how unpredictable it is, let's say, that is well documented also on Wikipedia, how it works. We have a simple implementation in Zenroom. I can show you the code later on. It's not that big. Wrote it myself in C. It passed some tests. This is my measurement of it. So the values are the same for random generated things. I mean, the difference is negligible also here. They're very close to each other. So this is also a visualization with GNU plot of the values of Shandom entropy. And you see the narrow, I mean, although we have some wiggling, but it's between 0.98 and 0.965. So it's constantly good Shannon entropy values. So my conclusion is that the encoding of a BBS plus proof appears as random data to the outside observer with the reserve that, it's worth investigating that random spike around 1,140 on Hamming distance measurements. Future directions. If I would have more time, what I would do? And I would try, but honestly, this was done in August and we were on the beach and, it's becoming busy again at work. The future directions I see, one is FATSING stress testing, because in Zenroom we implemented some easy functions for attacking cryptographic algorithms. So far Zenroom has been used for implementing cryptographic algorithms, but since we have some clients that ask us to develop new algorithms, and since we do that quite fast, we would like to have a good testing pipeline. We built some fuzzing stress testing primitives. If you don't know the Matasano challenges, they are a great exercise. It's free online, and it's fun for cryptographers. They are challenges to break hashes like SHA-1 and also RSA signatures, things that were proven in the past to be broken. So in the Matasano challenges, there are like these techniques explained and you have to re-implement them. So because we all took those challenges, then we re-implemented them in Zenroom, and now we have easy functions. It will be as easy as running Hamming distance measurements of what you have seen. So maybe in the future we will try. What they consist of, imagine the algorithm. You change at a certain point of all the flow, you change only the first bit of a signature or only the last bit of a signature or a random bit, or you shift it of one bit. So you change very subtle things in the material, in the data, and you see if the algorithm holds, if it doesn't crashes, if it's not producing false results, because even if a bit changes in a signature, it should not validate. It should not, you know, until you try. Another future direction that I see is coding the fastest BBS plus implementation in the West. It would be great fun to do that, and I hope I find the time to do that. I think the best way is to use libblst and the target also WASM. I believe this would lead to some very fast implementation. Would be interesting to compare with my benchmarks here and see what goes. Obviously, this is a step later after standardization, and I don't know if it could sell in the industry, because this is like end-to-end cryptographic algorithm. So we must see if there will be need for such a big optimization. But yeah, libblst is better than our primitive Milagro. We use Milagro in Zenroom, the one written by Mike Scott, then donated to the Apache Foundation as incubator. We still use the original from Mike Scott, which is a very nice primitive because it doesn't have any memory allocation. But libblst is very popular in the crypto scene, especially for zero-knowledge proofs, and it has assembly optimizations both for ARM and x86 platforms. So it would make sense. It would be fun. We have vectors to compare with, so maybe we will do it. Everything you have seen is based on I forgot to mention on the latest BBS specification, which came out like a month ago, and we have matched all the vectors, and we are following very closely all new versions. So maybe we will manage to update also this if there is any new version. We hope there will be not new version. Last future direction would be interesting, perhaps also for folks at W3C to benchmark our implementation of BBS inside browsers. So Zenroom can already compile to WASM. We use it a lot as a payload to browsers. It's like 2 megabytes, less than 2 megabytes payload. You can NPM install Zenroom already, and it runs in browser. So we can already run BBS Plus in browser, but I just didn't bother to make the benchmark comparison. I guess it will be one order of magnitude slower. It would be interesting to do. Just here, again, lack of time, but if you're interested, we can team up. And we take stage students also for this, so we can always put some young people on this tooling, because it's well documented and not so hard to run, and then run it into a JavaScript environment. So that's all. A bit of advertisement for our group. I'm co-chairing a group at W3C. I'm very happy about this. It's the threat modeling community group, together with Simone Onofri, who is here. And if you want to join us for less technical things, you are very welcome there. Fun trivia, the threat model was born because we noticed that in the LDR specification in Europe, there was no threat model. So it's very hard to discuss about, security without a threat model. And that will be probably one of the first things we will start working on. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Any questions? Mani, please.
Yeah, this is wonderful work, Yaramil. This is great to see, all of this stuff recreated by independent organizations. It's going to be a huge help to the security review that's going on at IETF and the World Wide Web Consortium. You had mentioned in the article that you're also looking into doing the same kind of analysis on the W3C BBS data integrity specifications. Did I misread that, or is there plans to kind of look at the higher level cryptographic protocol? Because I think the analysis you've done to date is the lower level BBS kind of core cryptographic primitives. What has to be done now, of course, is either whether it's SD BLS or SDBBS or JWP or the data integrity BBS crypto suites at W3C. Are you planning on taking a look at those higher level kind of cryptographic protocols as well?
I think my colleague Andrea is more busy on that. Consider that I will stay more on the cryptographic lower level and less on the protocol level. Also because of the tools we are developing and the way we are working. But Andrea has just some good news that the EC is also sponsoring us for a new project. I don't spoil it, Andrea, if you want to tell about it.
Yes, Manu, we are definitely looking at those very soon. We got a small grant to implement something that initially will be an AOD-ARF compliance tool. And I hear a lot of noise.
Go on, we can hear you well.
Okay. In writing the application, we got deeply inspired by the VC Playground, as well as the canivc.com. And initially, we'll focus only on AOD-ARF, but very, very soon, we're going to move to different data formats and protocols. So definitely yes, and we will ping you regarding the VC API, and we'll also ping you, trying to get an interview from you on to give us feedback on what you'd like to see in this application.
Yes, some handholding in the quantity of literature it's always welcome. The project is an exciting project. It was the brainchild also of Puria, and it's of course learning from the W3C attitude, because I remember clearly one of the first things that came out with the World Wide Web was a validator of HTML pages, very useful, hosted by the W3C. So we want a validator for all this, and we'll go through. Of course, I mean, this will be very useful. For BBS Plus, for the Audi is the first thing. But, Andrea, I don't know if I should say it, but really, I mean, I would never suggest a client to use the Audi app for credentials. I don't even go to test the SDJOT implementation from a cryptographic point of view. BBS Plus should be definitely the one considered.
We all agree it's a mess. Audi ARF is a mess.
Simone, I think you're on the queue.
Yes, just on to give a quick update on the test. It was I already sort of exchanged some emails with Greg, and probably for the verifiable credentials, we are going to have a first level of testing, maybe on, let's say, credential formats using Threatmodel, so classical Threatmodel things. And then we are thinking with Dennis, with Andrea, and with Patrick about also which kind of testing we are be able to do for cryptography part, and also to talk with IETF, because they are doing their job on BBS, so we cannot duplicate the effort, but maybe filling some gaps. So this is pretty much the end. Of course, this probably I'm just now routing all the information, and then we can just synchronize it together on the next steps.
If anyone wants to dig deeper into the point where questions were posed about the scalability, we can on a terminal.
Money.
Yeah, on the scalability, I have one addition. But before I do that, going back to kind of Will Abramson's question around the Hamming distance. It's a really interesting, for those of you that, you know, aren't steeped in cryptography, it's a really interesting measure on whether or not the cryptography is actually working. Let me see if I can, hopefully I can screen share, here. So like this is a picture of a penguin, right? This is Tux, Linux penguin. And if we're going to encrypt it, what we would expect to see once we encrypted it is something that looks like this. It's just like noise. Like you can't tell that that's the penguin that was like encrypted. And this is an example of like, you know, having good Hamming distance, when you do that kind of check. But there was a security failure many years ago where when you encrypted that image, you would get something like this. This is an example of like really poor Hamming distance. Like, you know exactly what has been encrypted, even though it's gone through a quote unquote, you know, block cipher encryption algorithm. So when Yarmil was talking about Hamming distance, this is the type of thing that he was measuring. He wanted to make sure we were in this case, which is what he showed with that nice curve, instead of this case where you would not have seen that nice curve, you would have seen something else when it came to kind of Hamming distance. So it's one of those really neat things that you can kind of check to see if your encryption and cryptography is working the way you think it's working. As for the proof size changing. I think Andre was correct. The signature size, the initial signature size on BBS doesn't change. So when the initial signature doesn't change, but I believe the derived proof does change as you reveal or hide more information because you have to, include, the hidden kind of values in a way, and that adds to the derived signature, the zero knowledge proof. That's it.
Oops, sorry. I shared other computer, but I'm back, no? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, you're back. Yeah.
I just ran again the benchmark. So this is the terminal of the benchmark. And I wanted to fiddle around. This is how the benchmark is done. It's a simple script you find in, I committed it to the source code. So you will find it in Zerum test benchmark BBS. Maybe some fiddling with the build environment, but you'll get this eventually. I forgot to mention that Shake256 or SHA256 are pretty much the same. So I just used Shake, which is also known as SHA3, as hashing for BBS. And these were the timings and the sizes I get here. And so this is the size benchmarks. And here the proofs, each proof let's say this is the context, and then the public key, the signature from the issuer, the message, and the IV, and so the nonce. And this is for each message. So a proof will be produced, for each new message and signature. It is not aggregated, at least from what I can see. There is a possibility to aggregate signatures in BLS space, but the proofs, I don't think so. I was obviously not ready to answer this question, so... And sometimes with cryptography, you get so deep into one direction that to crawl back into the other is like sort of difficult. But feel free for anyone that remembers Lua, feel free to play around with the benchmark. This is literally all the benchmark. Zenroom is like an interactive shell. So, you know, it works like this. Octet, random, I should have said octet random 250, whatever, and then print M, you show the randomness. So it is Lua. You see, this was the random in hex, and this is the random in binary, and this is literally the language that we use in Zerum. So if you go and read the KeyGen implementation of our benchmark, you'll see that there is a bit of a boilerplate. This is clock for measuring the speed, but really the command is KeyGen here. And then this is all down here is putting it into a formatted gnuplot will take it. So it is fairly easy, and sizes is really the simplest. So you can loop through this, create more proofs, and see it really grows linearly. We don't have functions for other functions for BBS. And by the way, if you're interested, we have a BBS implementation in Zencode, which is this. So that's how we use BBS. This is the implementation inside Zenroom, is create BBS keys. These are code commands, and they can take arguments. So that's how we make it used by integration engineers. So you can play with Zencode and create multiple credentials if you want. Anyway, yeah. This is for the curious that wants to fiddle with. This is the link. I'll paste it. That's all.
Cool. Thank you, Yermo. Any other questions? So just wants to clarify the chat. So in BBS, is it true that the more you hide, the larger the proof size? Is that true? Like, just because I think there's multiple chats like happening. Mm-hmm.
I did some tests. I can, if you like, I can share my screen and show you what we're looking at. But we generated signatures with an array of three elements. In this case, the elements are above 18, Italian, and professor, three strings. And if you want to create a proof where you only disclose one element, the proof is going to be bigger than a proof done by disclosing three elements, which is counterintuitive, but I believe it matches what Manu just said. The more you hide, the more the longer it is.
So got it. Thank you.
It's not the amount of elements you want to disclose that makes the proof bigger. It's the amount of elements you want to hide. So you want not to disclose.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the clarification. All right. Any last comment or question? I think we're at time. Well, thank you. Thank you, Yermo. Thank you, Andrea, for jumping on here. This is a great discussion. So thanks a lot. All right. This concludes this week's CCG meeting. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Pleasure. Cheers.